Good morning, everybody. Thank you all very, very much for being here today. Happy to welcome you to this worship service of the Augusta Road Congregation. Also happy to let you know that it has officially begun. The countdown to our gospel meeting is underway 1 week now. As a matter of fact, 1 week from now, the gospel meeting will have already begun. It starts in the Bible class hour of next Sunday, and I'm super excited about this. Hope you are too. We have a great preacher coming our way, and we've honestly tried to think of as much stuff as we can. We understand that time is precious, and we try to pick a good time that that kind of works for everybody. Obviously, we know there's no thing as a perfect time that it is ideal for everybody, but believe me when I say we were thinking about we're having dinner each night. Again, we realize not simple for everyone to get here at 5:30, but for those who maybe can, we're trying to take that that dinner pressure off of your mind. And we've got a wonderful preacher who we know this is most important. Not that other stuff is unimportant, but this is most important. We have a preacher coming in who we know will preach the gospel, preach the truth in love. Let us know what the Lord wants for our lives, needs us to be doing, and we'll share that good news in a friendly, loving way that encourages us to give God more of ourselves. That's what this life is all about, you know, finding out how much more we can give God. I hope that's the way you approach life. Looking every day, every month, every year that passes by and thinking, but what more can we do for the Lord? That's the way we ought to live. It's a challenge. Yeah, we know it's a challenge, but it's extremely worthwhile. This morning, I just want to talk a bit about the gospel. With this being gospel meeting Eve week, I want to talk a bit about the gospel. Just notice a few more things about it. From the ever-popular chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles, open up and follow along with me there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to see first the gospel defined. The gospel defined. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. We may circle back some of these, but that's always a good thing to do. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Paul says, "I deliver to you, first of all, that which was received, Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Here begin the definition of the gospel. Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the death of Christ. He was buried, the burial of Christ. He rose again, the resurrection of our Savior. Again, according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Cephas and by the 12. He was seen by 500. He was seen by James and the apostles, verse 7. He was seen last of all by me, Paul biographically says, one born out of due time, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. I am less than the least of the apostles, he mentions, and not worthy called an apostle, he goes on to say, because he persecuted the church of God, but I am what I am by grace, Paul mentions here. It's a beautiful sentiment that Paul addresses by inspiration. And in these words, he lets us know what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Paul mentions here in this reading, Jesus, according to the Scriptures, this was all previously announced and prophesied by God's word, that Jesus would come, that Jesus would die, that Jesus would be risen again. All of this would happen so that our sins could be saved, as was earlier pointed out in this worship service where we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. Jesus did all of this so that we could be saved. And if you are regular readers of the Bible, or hey, for that matter, if you've never even picked up a Bible, you understand how strange this construction is. That the hero dies. I mean, we know how stories go. The hero doesn't die. He's the one who lives and is able to save everybody else, you know. But in our amazing story, the hero dies. And he dies early, after just 3 years of very very controversial ministry here on earth. Jesus was executed by men whom he was more powerful than. Jesus had much power than these men who put him to death. And if you read Paul earlier in the book of the 1 Corinthians, then you know that Paul presents this as foolishness to the world. Doesn't make sense that Jesus would come truly from God and that he would live in the impoverished way that he did. Jesus' own words here let us know that he was homeless. The birds have nests. The foxes have holes that they can crawl in and sleep. But the Son of Man, Jesus' words are, the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. And he did not even indulge in the finest things here on earth. He left heaven, as hard as that was to imagine his willingness to do, he left and came to earth and then lived as a pauper here on earth. Badly impoverished. Badly rejected until he was ultimately executed by men. He was so much more powerful than any of his accusers or adversaries. But Jesus willingly allowed this to happen. He allowed himself to be captured. He allowed himself to be mocked and beaten and tried, quote unquote, tried in that sham of a trial put on by Pilate with so many conflicts of interest. It's not even fair. And then to allow himself to be put to death, not just any death, by the way, but the most inhumane death imaginable, a statement-making death. You know, when a football team just scores so many points over the other football team, and it's a little lopsided and kind of embarrassing, you know, for the other team, I guess. Maybe not so much for the team in control. That's a statement-making activity, you know, that's a statement in victory. Crucifixion was a statement-making death. The Roman Empire was very much impressed about making their enemies fear and know who's in charge around here, buddy. So to let you know who's in charge around here, we're going to nail criminals to the cross and stick them up outside where the pain and agony will get to them, the loss of blood, the inability to breathe will get to them, the exposure to the sun, the malnutrition, the dehydration will get to them, and if they don't, well, then the animals will get to them. One or another, you're dying, and it's not going to be pretty. Jesus did that for us. He died for us. Sometimes if you're around churches or the Bible or religious folks, you hear the gospel called the good news. And it's a bit of a head scratcher. The gospel is the good news. What are you talking about, the good news? It wasn't good news for Jesus. No, not at all. It wasn't good news for him. Not the least little bit. The gospel is, however, the good news for us. Because you see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about the gospel is that which saves us. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. The gospel saves us from our sins. If we're faithful to it, if we stand in it, if we believe it, the gospel saves us from our sins. It is, the gospel is, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, the hope of man, the message from God to a lost and dying people. It doesn't want to be lost and dying. That's the gospel defined. Stay right here with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You will see the gospel declared. That news of salvation, that hope of heaven, was what was taught to you. Do you remember the one who taught you the gospel as a fellow who's taught many people the gospel? I hope that you do have vivid memories of the person who taught you the gospel. I hope they're not faded way back there in the back of your mind somewhere, but I hope you remember being taught the gospel, having this good news open up and declare to you. Rizzo is the verb here, and it shares a relationship with gnosko. I mentioned that because that word gnosko is thrown around a whole lot more commonly in this verb here. And Paul is saying, I have made known the gospel to you. What does that mean to you that you were taught this? Someone took the time, and we all know how precious time is. Someone took the effort. Someone thought of you and thought about God and wanted to connect God and you. Someone thought about how best to teach you the gospel, to make this known to you. And what an impact that single event made in your life. Do you think about it? I hope you do. I would love to encourage you to think about it. I think about being taught the gospel and how much of a difference it made to everything. Some of you in here were taught the gospel by godly parents and grandparents, and I'm sure that's special. Some of us in here were taught the gospel by other people who we were not related to, who just took an interest in us and wanted to teach us the gospel. It's a marvelous thing to have declared to us. And it should be one of those things that really is a marker in our life. You know, you think about when you go to kindergarten, you think about when you graduate high school, maybe your first job, maybe when you graduate college. Hopefully you think about learning and obeying the gospel right up there among the highlights of your life. If you're thinking of a highlight reel of your life, then hopefully learning the gospel and better still obeying the gospel is right among those things. Because without obeying the gospel, we would be badly, badly lost. Jesus is the answer to life, you know. Addie's confused, as most 1.5-year-olds are. Sometimes we ask her, what do you want to eat? And she says, God. Like, no, wrong. Cute, but wrong, you know. What are you wearing, God? Jesus is not literally the answer for every question, but Jesus is the answer that makes life make sense. And if you don't know, you don't know. And didn't know until someone took the time and the love and the energy to sit down and say, this is what you need to do with your life spiritually. And that's what matters so much. Physical stuff is important, you know, but what matters so much more than any of that is we take care of ourselves spiritually. Jesus is the cure. Not a physical malady. But if you had the cure for cancer, what would you do with that? Think about what you would do with it. If you had if you had the best news that everyone wanted, what would you do with that? Jesus does not take a physical sickness from us. But Jesus makes us well. He is the great physician, Bible, and us students of the Bible call him. He's the great physician because he makes us whole again. He changes our life in a better way. None of this is possible without Jesus. I think about gospel being taught to me. There was no chance that I would ever be a Christian, let alone a preacher. There's no chance that I would have some really cool kids who would grow up to do impressive and great things for the Lord. None of this is possible without someone teaching me the gospel. And your salvation and your family's spiritual story is only possible because someone declared the gospel to you. Maybe it was at a gospel meeting type setting. Maybe it was. Maybe not. But maybe it was a preacher who talked to you about the gospel. Maybe it wasn't. However it happened, you were taught the gospel, and you were taught the gospel for a very important reason. Paul gets into that too in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 by saying the gospel has been declared and the gospel has been delivered. Chapter 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. The gospel is now delivered to you. You were taught this gospel. You were declared it for a reason. What is that reason? That reason is to go and teach it to others. We likened it a few seconds ago to having a cure for a terrible disease. You've heard preachers talk like that down through the years of preaching the gospel. Jesus is like the answer for a terrible disease or a cure for a terrible disease. That's not hyperbole, you know. That's real because sin is the worst thing that could happen to a person. Sin is worse than any physical disease could ever be. You know, not to be melancholy about it, but it's true. 1 second after you die, it won't matter what killed you. 1 second after you die, it won't really matter how much pain you were in or how comforted you were. 1 second after you die, what was wrong with you won't be wrong with you anymore. That won't be top concern. 1 second after you die, how many tests or medicines or surgeries you had, that won't be even the mention. Those things won't rate a mention 1 second after you die. You know what will be important 1 second after you die? The gospel. Jesus. Your soul. What you've done with this treasure that has been delivered to you. How you are using it to better your life and better the lives of others. How you're using it to show Christ to a world that needs him so badly. 1 second after you die, everything would be turned upside down. While we're living, we worry about money and health and time and how we're going to get everything done and how we're going to pay for everything, and if we're going to be healthy enough to enjoy our lives as long as we're able to live them. When you die, all of that stuff goes out the window. 1 second after you die, And it doesn't matter how rich or broke you were. Doesn't matter how sick or well you were. Doesn't matter how popular or unpopular you were. 1 second after you die, there's only one thing you're going to be concerned about. And that's your soul. That's your soul. The gospel has been declared to you. It has been delivered to you. You have it. You know God's word. And don't act like you don't know God's word. In this world that needs a big dose of God's word, don't you dare act like you don't know God's word. In this world that is so confused about how we should worship, how we should live, how our marriages should be, don't you dare act like you don't know God's word. It's been given to you. You have it. Someone taught it to you. People continue to teach you the gospel. You have it. Make sure that you're not keeping it all to yourself. Because the Lord needs the whole world to be given this gospel. What are you going to do with it? This morning, we're giving it to you again. The gospel's defined. It's declared. It's delivered. You have it now. What are you going to do with God's word? Are you going to obey it? I certainly hope so. You need to obey the gospel. This means hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. We would be so, so happy to help you today. If you need to study more, those steps in the plan of salvation, let us know. We would be happy to see with you time and place of your choosing. We'll make work for you because we love you so much. We want you to know what you must do in order to be saved. If we can help you today, please, please let us know. If you need to repent of sins as a child of God already, somebody who has already obeyed the gospel but now needs to improve his or her standing with God, we understand. We get that because we live in the same world that you live in. We know how challenging it can be to hold on to our precious faith. It has been given to us. We need to keep it. We need to stand fast in it. We need to teach it to others. And sometimes that's a lot to do. And we don't always do what we should. We understand. And in a loving family way, we would be happy to help you, encourage you in whatever way we can, pray for you, motivate you as you motivate us. If you need to repent of sins this morning, we're inviting you to do that. Thank you so much for being with us and leading us study together. The gospel is so important. Please pray for our upcoming gospel meeting. It starts in a week. We would love for you to make plans to join us and meet the preacher who will be coming to speak to us here, the good sermons that he's preparing to bring to us. Don't wait. Don't wait to please God. If we help you this morning, and invite you now as we stand and sing, come.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.